Beautiful, beautiful music. Thank you so much. It's really for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus' heart was broken for you and me because he loves you and he loves me. And I appreciate so much, ladies. Beautiful music. I wanted to make an announcement here what in Hilo Church, right at the gym, tomorrow at 2 o'clock, we are going to have a special seminar. It's going to be not even simply a seminar. It's going to be some cooking classes. Mark Anthony, on January 9 at 2 p.m., tomorrow at 2 p.m., right at the gym at the Hilo Seventh-day Adventist Church, is going to demonstrate some cooking performances. He is a chief cook, as they call him, and he is quite often already introduced himself and had a show on 3ABN, and he is visiting right now. Hilo, it's just for every one of us, you please welcome. We already received, according to our secretary Elizabeth in the Hilo Church, she told me what more than 120 people already pre-registered for this particular class. But it will be nice if you could come, and the meal is going to be provided at 2 o'clock, tomorrow at 2 o'clock, right at the gym. Beside this, last weekend, we had a nice baptism, 5 people got baptized, and we had a wedding right by the shore at the ocean. We have a privilege to live in Hawaii and experience the beautiful ocean and beautiful views. The Lord really blessed us. Some of you asked me about the photos and the pictures. Maybe in the following Sabbath, when I will be here again, I will show you some pictures after the baptism. Tomorrow, actually, not day after tomorrow, on the 10th and 11th, I will be in the conference office. For all the pastors from the Hawaii Conference, it's going to be a session for the pastors. If you have any concerns or questions or requests, let me know after the service or after the church, and I will certainly question on the conference what could be done to improve our service to do a better job for the God's glory. Beside this, they from the conference, all the elders in the conference, they're expecting from us to submit some of our plans for the Puna and the Hilo churches and other churches. We would like to bring our plans, what we would like to do in 2011, how we would like to glorify the name of the Lord, what seminars we would like to do, what is our budget, what we are planning to do in order for us to do a better job for the God's glory. And I noticed what there is no children's story today. I have a little bit more time. It's really nice. But in the same time, maybe I need, Marina, it's so nice what the Lord blessed you with your child and with your baby, Brother Brian. We're looking forward to have your baby. Let's pray to the Lord if he will speed the process. We will have more babies at the church and do more children's stories for the God's glory. Yes? Amen. Amen. Let's have a word of prayer and I will go into the sermon. Our merciful and wonderful Lord Jesus Christ, today you would like to teach us a lesson. You would like for us to be leaders in this world, to lead your people in the right direction. You would like to share with us your power, your grace, and your mercy. Open our minds, dear Lord, and help us accept your truth into our hearts. In the name of Jesus, amen. Jesus climbed into the boat with them, and the wind dropped. They, it means disciples, they were scared out of their wits. They hadn't had the sense to learn the lesson of the loaves. Even that miracle had not opened their eyes to see who he was. The miracle that is being talked about here is a miracle of the feeding of the 5,000 people. The feeding of the 5,000 people. There are some great lessons about their leadership and about how we as a Christians could really follow the example of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now I wanted to ask you, remember what Jesus walked around this earth more than 2,000 years ago? And he had his public ministry. He chose 12 students. They follow him. In everything, they watched him, they observed him, and he was teaching them teaching them the lesson of leadership. Everything he taught, every miracle he worked, he knew that these young fellows were going to lead the whole entire world to understand who Jesus was. So he's teaching them about the leadership, and as he did everything, I'm thinking about you, my dear friends, about me. You see, Christ, God himself, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is trying to teach you and me today a lesson what he would like for us to be leaders. He would like for you and me to lead the world into the right direction. And the whole entire world is not exactly following the God's plan. God chose you, brought you into the church, brought you into relationship with the Lord, and introducing you today what he would like for you to get involved and step in and say, okay, I'm going to lead because I know the Lord. Let's go into the scripture. John chapter 6, verse 5 and 6. It says right here, Jesus soon saw a great crowd of people climbing the hill, looking for him. Turning to Philip, he asked, Philip, where can we buy bread to feed all these people? And he was testing Philip. I really would like for you to underline that word in your Bibles. He was testing Philip, for he already knew what he was going to do. It's clear right from the beginning, where Jesus was using this miracle to teach them and to teach us something important. There are some incredible lessons here for the leadership in this miracle. It's interesting, right from the Gospels, what we're discovering, what the disciples had been talking about, the problem that as they're facing as the leaders. Here is Jesus teaching 5,000 people. In 2004, I had the privilege to be in Jerusalem and be up on that hill. Right now, they build a big, huge church over there. Not right now, in 1950s. They build a big, huge church over there. And they call it a Mount of Blessings. It's right on that particular hill, as many people believe, according to their custom. But this was a location where Jesus preached, where Jesus created this miracle of and fed the 5,000 people. There was a huge crowd. And I'm just wondering, if it was 5,000 men, according to the gospel, 5,000 men, that means there were probably maybe 5,000 women. What about the kids? Maybe if per family one child, another 5,000 kids. I don't know, but it was a huge crowd, very huge. And they're all watching Jesus all day long, and the people are getting more and more hungry. Disciples. Oh, they're looking, it's getting toward the evening. And they are talking out the side and saying, Jesus doesn't understand right now. Something is happening. These people are getting hungry, but Jesus is still preaching. Jesus is still talking. Oh, they're starting to worry about these things, about everybody's feeling and how they're getting more and more hungry and they are not listening to what Jesus is preaching. Okay, and maybe they're thinking, Jesus, could you just not talk about this anymore right now? Could you already stop? It's a too long sermon. It's already quite long. These people are getting hungry. You see in their eyes, what you can see it already, what's happening. Right in the middle of that moment, Jesus is stopping, looking at Philip, and saying, Philip, could you help me here? What do you think? What should we do to feed all these people? Wow. It's quite a lesson here for the Philip. At least we can see here at least three lessons for us. And in your sermon outline, I would like for you to pay attention to these three special statements. Three of them, and we are going to look at them together. Do not measure a problem or challenge according to your own abilities. Do not measure a problem according to your own abilities. Anytime you face a problem or challenge, and you feel small next to the problem, there is no way you lead in this particular circumstance. The world has a lot of problems and challenges. And they are whole, they're all so tall, they're so huge, they're so great, they're so big. But I'm just only wondering, what we as the Christians, what we as a Seventh-day Adventist could do right from here, from the Pune Church, to lead the world in the right direction. And maybe some of you question, oh, what can we do? How we make an impact on the whole world? We are a small community over here. We are a small church. Even I heard from you already, some of your brethren shared with me what, you know, Pastor, we don't have doctors here. We don't have lawyers here. We don't have rich people over here. We are small. We're meek. We are humble. What can we do? But I wanted to assure you what we can do so much, and not what we can do. This is what God can do. What God can do through you for His glory. And right here, we can see what the disciples did, what Philip did. He measured everything according to his own abilities. He figured out, oh, I don't have enough ability over here to handle this situation. According to the verse 7 in John chapter 6, it says, it will make more than half a year of wages to buy enough bread for each one to have a bite. Is it in your Bible, similar verse you have? He looks at Jesus and say, you know, Jesus, what are you talking about? There is no way to handle this situation. This is an impossible situation. Look around. How many of them over there? What I think is a greater miracle than feeding the 5,000 people. What in those days, it was no super Walmart over there around, no Subways, no McDonald's, no any of those quick kind of restaurants, yeah? And at the same time, we know what it's kind of impossible situation for the Philip. But Jesus, this is what I wanted to put an emphasis right here. Jesus loves impossible situation. Jesus loves impossible situation. He is God, and He loves impossible circumstances. And they are not bother Him. They are not trouble Him at all, because Jesus loves the impossible situation. And when He's looking at the Pune Church, He's saying, wow, everything I could do through the Pune Church, if they will simply trust and obey and follow. Can you imagine Jesus? I'm just thinking about the issues and anxiety over here. Jesus Christ, when He thought, okay, what I'm going to do right now, 5,000 people over here with their wives and children, such a huge crowd, and maybe Jesus started to kind of biting His fingernails at this situation. Could you imagine Jesus in such a condition? But He's biting His fingernails and thinking, what I'm going to do right now? Could you imagine Him pacing up and down and wondering, what is going to happen? What should I do? Jesus, the creator of this world. Because even we can imagine Him, yeah, in such a condition. At the same time, what we are doing as the leaders on this earth, what we are doing as the followers of Christ, when the situation is approaching us, and what we are doing at that time. Maybe we are following the example of the disciples. Jesus loves the impossible situation. You see, when He approached a woman, approached Jesus, He healed the woman when she was sick for 12 years. She tried every doctor's, and no one could help her. He is the one who healed the man who had been sick for 38 years. An impossible situation. And He is the one who healed Lazarus, who had been dead for 4 days in the grave. That's a pretty impossible for the human beings even just to comprehend and think about. But Jesus Christ healed him. He loves impossible situation. He even loves allowing us to be in impossible situation. Some of you are thinking, oh yeah, nominating committee choose me to do some work here at the Pune Church throughout the 2011. What should I do? What kind of plan should I share with the whole church? What should I really do? Could I really accomplish what I have in mind? Or what you should do, maybe just to say, Lord, what you would like for me to do in the Pune Church throughout the 2011. When I say impossible situation, I'm not talking here about the things you brought on yourself by yourself. God will help you in this too if you will pray diligently. But I'm talking about the circumstances that come into your life and you don't have any control over that situation. This is an impossible situation. Why God allowing for you and me to have an impossible situation? There is a number of reasons. It provides a perfect test. Jesus did this to test Philip, it says in the Bible. To test Philip, to test all the disciples. It is providing the perfect test. It's pretty easy to notice. But if you look at the story, feeding over 5,000 people, Jesus allowing his disciples to struggle, and he's waiting and waiting. Maybe they were thinking, oh, he's preaching for so long, and he's waiting until that moment. And he said, okay, now I would like to test you. Has it ever happened in your life when you're wondering, why God allowed him for me personally to go through this? I'm not sure about you, but personally in my life and my little experience as a pastor, many, many times I heard from the church members, then they're coming to me and saying, Pastor, we need to pray. I have this particular situation. I don't know why God allowed for me to go through this. Why my family is involved? Why my kids are involved in this? Oh, they're questioning God. In my life, it certainly happens many times when I'm questioning myself, why God is testing me. Let me be quite clear on this. When God tests us, he's not wanted to just grade us and give you like B or C or A and A plus. Not at all. Because he already knows you. He knows you quite well. He knows you. But when he's testing you, he wants for you to grow. He wants for you to grow. And he wants for you to experience that joy when you will say, wow, this is amazing. God doesn't need to grade us. He knows us so clear, so nice. He knows everything what you right now have in your heart. He knows your thoughts. He knows your background. He knows everything about you. At the same time, he wants for you to grow. And we are learning something. And when we are learning something through the test, through this unimaginable experience, we just after that saying, wow, it's amazing what God allowed for me to go through this. How does God help us to grow? Three things. And you have this in your sermon outline. It says, God put us in an impossible situation to stretch our undeveloped faith. Our faith is developing step by step, a little at a time, little by little. God also put us in an impossible situation to strengthen our eternal hope for you and me to see what we have this hope. And our hope is in Jesus. And our hope is in our future. God puts us in an impossible situation to show his incredible love for you and me, what he still cares. If your husband is not caring for you, if your wife is not caring for you, if the teenagers is already not caring what you are their parents, God still is in control. Today, I would like to give you a homework. Go home today and think about an impossible situation, what you are facing today, right for this year or right now. Think about an impossible situation, what you are facing as a leader. And usually, my dear friends, this is what I already experienced many times. Usually, when we are sitting together in any committees or with the family, we put in the blank paper on a table, and people are saying, okay, this is what I can do. And this is what they are writing. In this particular situation, this is what I can do. But today, I would like for you to use a little bit different approach. If you will go home and write everything what you cannot do. Write everything what you cannot do. And after that, when you will write everything step by step, you will say, Lord, this is the paper which I have. This is what I cannot do at all. I would like to give it to you and pray to the Lord Jesus. Stay on your knees. Pray to God and say, Lord Jesus, I need your strength. I need just to maybe, if you will teach me a simple prayer, three words, God, help me. You know what some of those short prayers, they are so powerful so often. They're more powerful than the long prayers, and you're preparing yourself for the long prayer. But the short prayers, they are much more powerful when you're crying out from the bottom of your heart, oh God, help me. Because you are crying like the person who is drowning over there in the ocean. This is what Mark, we have a rescue guy at the Hilo Church. He shared with me many stories. And recently on the Black Sand Beach, he was over there, and a lady came from England. And she started just to wave and cry because, oh, help, because she quite clearly understood what she is going to drown. And according to his report, he told me in the last 4 years, they lost 4 people over there on that particular Black Sand Beach. And now they have a security guy who is watching and observing and so on. And this lady, she could have been drowned, but she waved for help. And immediately help arrived. As you and me, as we will cry for help, the Lord is so close to you and me because he's always constantly thinking about you and me. This is what the Bible says. I'm just quoting the Bible for you. But God is always constantly thinking about you, about every one of you. He has a plan for the Pune Church. He has a plan for you and a purpose why you are here. As you and I, as we are looking forward to all the plans and ideas, so often we are measuring everything according to our own scale, according to our own measuring abilities. And there is a second lesson in the feeding of the 5,000 people. It says, when you are trying to face a situation or a circumstances, you are trying to balance it out on your own scales. You think what you balance pretty well. And this is what you're saying maybe in your heart. I think I can handle that one. I think I can handle. But what you do, what you will do when you will face 5,000 people and all of them need to be fed, and you're thinking, wow, and the master is here, and what all these people are going to think about us if we are not going to feed them? And now Jesus is only holding in his hands 5 loaves of bread, 2 fish, but he has 5,000 people. Jesus helped his disciples to deal with the problem too, and he assured them what the little in the hands of Jesus becomes much. This is our title for today's sermon. Little in the hands of Jesus becomes much. What you might feel like is a little, but you put in the hands of Jesus Christ, and it's become so much. Philip, one of Jesus' disciples, had his problem with Jesus was proposing to him to feed all these people. And Andrew, of his disciples, had his problems with what Jesus was proposing to. Jesus told them to go out and search the crowd and found some food. And according to the Bible, it says right here, Andrew came back to look, and this is what he says. Then Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. There is a young boy here with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what good is that with this huge crowd? The things about Andrew is he should have stopped. He should have stopped one sentence earlier. Have you ever questioned yourself if you should have stopped just only one moment earlier, one sentence earlier, how many family relationships could have been resolved easier? If you should have stopped only just a little bit earlier. But the Andrew, he hadn't stopped right here in one sentence earlier. He would have been the disciples if he could have stopped, who came to Jesus and said, look, 5 loaves of bread. Jesus, you can do this. Jesus, this is the fish here and 5 loaves of bread. But he didn't stop. He goes on to say, but what good is that with this huge crowd? What good is that? What I don't like about it, it reminds about myself personally. My dear beloved, sometimes you make this great statement of faith. When you put a statement behind, what only when we are thinking, if he really wants to, this is what we're saying quite often. When we're saying, okay, everything is possible for God, but behind we put in a little statement, if it will be only according to his will, Or if he wants to, he will do this work. Praise be to the Lord. Yes, it's supposed to be according to the will of God. But so often we are using this small little sentence just to somehow to protect ourselves and say, okay, in case, if it will not happen, what should I do after? And people will say, I told you so, it's not going to happen. Oh, how we are afraid of these words, I told you so. And we are afraid to step by faith in one step farther to say, Lord Jesus, now I'm trusting everything in your hands. You should lead, and I will follow. Whenever you are saying these words, I told you so, you are not leading. When you are saying these words, I'm not leading, I'm protecting myself, it means I'm thinking about myself. And I'm not thinking about God and His power and His majesty. I'm not leading, I'm afraid about myself personally. But we should remember, what it's not all about beautiful music, beautiful sun, beautiful bird singing outside over there. Praise be to the Lord for this beautiful sound. But in the same time, we should remember, when we are not leading, when we are always worried about ourselves, we are missing the point why we are existing in this world. Because you and me, we are created by God with a special reason and purpose. And it's all about Him. It's true or false? It's all about Him. It's not about you and me. It's all about Him. If it's all about Him, why we are worrying about ourselves? What people are going to think about us. The leaders, they will say, leaders don't say, I told you so. The leader, the real leader, the Christian leader, he say, we need to look to God in faith. We need to look to God in faith. And they will say, oh, we failed. It didn't work. Let's pray together about why we failed. Why it's really happened. Why God didn't answer our prayers. Andrew struggled with this the same as Philip does. They both struggle. Two perspectives and the same wrong answer. Philip says it is impossible, and Andrew says it is impossible. We have too little to accomplish this goal. He was looking at themselves. Philip was looking at themselves. But Jesus' miracle gives powerful answer to both of these leaders at that moment. No need to even just think. What you need to have something great, something majestic, something just huge. Just look at Jesus, and you will receive so much. As I look at these disciples, as they were both struggle, it's really, they're bringing all of us to the two important life-challenging questions. One of them, what have I decided is too big for God to accomplish? What have I decided is too big for God to accomplish? Why don't you let God to decide what is big personally for Him? And the next question, the question from Andrew is, where have I decided I have too little, just a little bit, to make a huge difference? Where have you decided it's too little to do all that God wants to do in your personal life? These are quite challenging questions, because we often look at life and say, oh, there is not enough. There is not enough. Not enough money, not enough time, not enough energy, no way to accomplish this. We've got to have this little sentence. And so often what we do, we just trying to fill the little blanks. When I get more blank, then I'm going to blank. When I get more time, I'm going to do this ministry. When I get more energy, I'm going to spend more time with my kids. When I get more money, I'm going to give more and more. Oh, Lord, you know my heart. I really would like to give you more, but I don't have enough right now. And this is what we are seeing. When I get more experience, then I'm going to lead. And I will be a leader, and I will lead the whole crowd. I will follow the Lord, but I'm not experienced yet. I'm not ready yet. There is a little secret about all of this. What we are simply thinking always about ourselves, but not about a merciful Christ and God and our Savior. there is an important lesson for all of us here. So as you and I look at all the situation, we can question ourselves, how could I really improve my relationship with Jesus? How can I really entrust my life into Jesus? Look at what he did, Jesus. 5 loaves and 2 fish. This is what Jesus said. Tell everyone to sit down. Jesus ordered, he commanded as a leader. So all of the men alone, numbered 5,000, it says in the Bible, sat down in the grassy slopes. Then Jesus took the loaves, gave thanks to God, and passed them out to the people. Afterward, he did the same with the fish, and they all ate until they all were full. What always made me kind of smile about this story is how the disciples must have felt during Jesus' prayer. Could you just imagine that? Here's Jesus, 5 loaves of bread, 2 fish, 10 or more thousand people, and Jesus is praying. Listen to his prayer. God bless this food which we are about to receive. God bless this food which we are about to receive to fulfill all our needs. And this is it. This is all prayer. And I'm sure what you're thinking, oh, this is impossible. What is going to happen right now? Maybe some of you, let me use a little bit stronger English word over here. This is ridiculous. Yes, it seems like it's not going to work. It's not going to happen. When Jesus started to divide in the bread, divide in the fish, and all of a sudden, according to this story, all the people received this multiplication of the bread and fish, and immediately everybody got filled with the food. What an incredible lesson. They all ate until they were all full. And the actual miracle is quite simple, very simple. It's not like lightning and flashes all over around, and everybody is just hearing that thunderstorm over there, and after that the bread is growing right on the field over there or something else. Not at all. So simple, so meek, and so humble. The leadership lesson, the miracle is so simple. You and I, we take what we have, we give it to Jesus, and say, Jesus, could you multiply? And let it be for your glory. This is the lesson of 5,000 people. This lesson is not just uncommon and one only in the Bible. We know quite a few other lessons. But do you know, by the way, what this particular story about 5,000 people in the Bible, how the Lord fed them, is recorded in the 4 Gospels. If you know what some of the stories only recorded in Matthew, some of the stories only recorded in Mark, and some of the stories only in Luke, but in this particular story, all 4 Gospels recorded word by word. It's the only unique one story in the whole entire Bible which is recorded 4 times the same story. Why? Because it touched their mind, touched their heart, and touched their stomach. It means all the senses were involved over there. And they couldn't forget. They wrote that story right in the 4 Gospels. It's amazing. But it's exactly a lesson for all of us. It's an incredible lesson. But we need to remember what Jesus can make a difference in your life as well. You see about a dozen different places in the Bible when God is using a common lesson throughout the whole Testament and the New Testament. Do you remember a widow? She approached Elisha and she said, you know what, the landowner, he wanted to take all my boys, all my sons, and I don't have nothing. And Elisha asked her, what do you have in your home? A little bit of butter, yes? A little bit of oil, she said. And okay, he said, go home and ask all your neighbors if they will give you enough vessels, enough jars for you to fill all that oil inside there, and you will see the miracle of the Lord. What about a young fellow by the name Gideon in the Old Testament? He had an army, about 15,000 people. And God said, it's too big for me. I need about 300. What about another person whom we know quite well, a young person by the name David? The whole Israel army, it was just defeated by one guy by the name Goliath. And everybody was trembling and afraid of the one guy, Goliath. And God said, David, you can go. And David only just took 5 smooth stones with a sling. And he went and defeated the enemy. One guy. Every one of these experiences are showing you and me what God is a powerful God. God is Almighty God. He knows your needs. And He can do so much if you will simply say, "Oh Lord, you reduces the Gideon's army to 300. He reduces the Israelites' army to one kid. And to the disciples, He allowed for all the disciples to see what only one young fellow, the little boy, brought 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And now this is a huge miracle for the rest of the crowd. He reduces our resources. And right alongside of that, the second step, He maximized the need. Did I say it right in English? He maximized the need. It's exactly what we were talking this morning about, an anxiety lesson. How God is allowing for us to go through the test in life. He wanted for you and me to grow spiritually. Have you ever asked yourself, why doesn't God make our life easier? I'm a faithful, I'm studying the Bible, I'm praying quite nicely. Why He's not making my life easier? Why doesn't He just give us enough resources and fill my bank if my account will overflow? Why He can't help me? Why doesn't He just give us more resources to accomplish this goal in 2011 right here in the Pune church? We would like to do some expansion over here. We would like to have some health ministry over here. We would like to do a lot of progress. But why He cannot just simply share with us abundance of resources? But you know, He's maximizing the needs, and He wanted for you and me to go through the test and then simply pray more and be more diligent in our relationship with the Lord. You see, I'm just questioning myself. I know for myself, at least, if I had all the money in the world, all the resources I needed in the world, I will have never looked to God. I don't know. But maybe. Who knows? I will never even question God. Honestly, I should tell you honestly, from the bottom of my heart, I'm praying less because we are so abundantly materially blessed in the United States. I'm praying much less compared to when I prayed, when my salary was first paycheck in Uzbekistan, $25 per month. And in 2001, my final check, I received $60 for the whole month, $60. Yes, the life over there, the cost of life is much lower compared in Hawaii, but still, it was not enough. We never dreamed about an apartment. We never dream about a house. We never dream about a car. We only just concerned only if we will have enough a food on the table for our children, a little bit of butter and a bread, and we were so happy. We already have a little bit of. We will not even talk about the meal because it was quite expensive over there too. Anyway, so far it was quite a story in the past. Now we have abilities to choose what food we would like to eat. Now we have opportunities what we really would like to accomplish. We are planning ahead in advance what we would like to build. We are driving in the cars, and we are not concerned about. It means we are praying less. We have everything. The Lord is placing us in a situation when we will question once again, Lord, what should I do to be more faithful to you if you will use me as you use that little boy right there in front of the crowd? And the real bottom line of the whole story, I would like for you to look at the outlines, real bottom line here, in every encounter with the problems or a challenge can bring an increase. You just start to add up to this story. You got 5,000 men and women and so many people all over waiting for the food. The Bible says, now gather the leftovers, Jesus told to his disciples, so that nothing is wasted. There are only 5 barely loaves of bread to start with. But 12 baskets were filled with the pieces of bread, and the people did not eat. Think about this. There are 12 disciples. 12 baskets left over. Why? Why 12? Anybody will think maybe it's just circumstances. But in reality, Jesus wanted to make sure what every one of those disciples who were wondering how in the world this was going to happen had a full basket of bread left over. They're looking at this, what is going on, and they're saying, oh, Jesus, with Jesus everything is impossible. So in this experience of the feeding of the 5,000 people, every miracle is an example of how God works for you and me. He says, my ways are not your ways. But even more, he tells me, well, this is the character of Jesus. Because you don't need to trust yourself, trust the Lord Jesus Christ. In every miracle he ever worked, an example, he always showed to us an illustration. Think about this. Today, brother mentioned what Jesus shared a story, what he is the life, he is the bread of life. And after he said these words, when he fed 5,000 people to prove what he said. Jesus said, I'm the light to this world. To prove this, he made a blind man to see. Jesus said, I'm the resurrection and the life. He went to Lazarus' tomb and he raised him from the dead to prove what he is, the resurrection of life. And so often we are questioning ourselves, do we really trust in Jesus? Do we really obey Jesus? Oh, sometimes he gives us increase for the deeper relationship. Sometimes he gives us increase for an increased faith. Sometimes God gives us increase with a new perspective to our life. All of a sudden you see what something is happening in your heart and you're enjoying life with Jesus and saying, Lord Jesus, it's so wonderful to have you in my heart. And you're experiencing peace and joy. And the last words, I started with this particular text in this sermon. Now we are back to where we started, in Mark chapter 6, verse 51 through 52. The Bible says, when he climbed into the boat and the wind stopped, they were totally amazed, for they still did not understand the significance of the miracle of the loaves. Their hearts were too hard to take it. Even the miracle had not opened their eyes, the eyes of the disciples, to see who he was. Oh Lord, have mercy. How would you like to have been one of the disciples? Think about it. 2,000 years later, people are still reading this story, and they're reading this lesson, and it says on the story, but those disciples, they missed the point. They misunderstood. Had no idea of whom we are dealing with. This lesson is reminding me what I don't measure things just by my own abilities. The fact that a little in the hands of Jesus Christ becomes so much. Everything is possible with Jesus. This lesson is showing me, but then I trust God with what might seem to the world to be an impossible circumstances, an impossible challenging situation. Not only does he meet the need, then Jesus get involved, he also bring an increase for you and me, for our family. I want to trust God with all these things. I don't want to be as one of those disciples. I'm sure what they learned later in their lives, and this is why they wrote even this story to all of us, by the inspiration from the Holy Spirit. God brought you here today with a special reason and purpose. As you are right now entering into 2011, as we approach right now in the next 51 Sabbaths in a row, as we will enjoy the fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ every single day, every single week, I want for you simply to talk to your God, to talk to your Heavenly Father, when you can submit your life, submit your heart and say, Lord, I'm trusting you. I'm trusting your leadership. I would like just to follow you, and I would like to be a good example to all the others around me. And now I would like to invite all of you to sing song with us. Closing song, I Surrender All to Jesus.